everyone. Welcome back to another episode of John's Basement Podcast / Radio Show. If you're listening live on WCOV.live, hello in real time. Not really. I make these several hours before they actually air. However, in as far as real time is concerned, hello in real time. Thank you for tuning in. If you're listening back on Quad Audio or Spotify, how's the future like? So, today is an exciting day for me because we went over international borders again. Hell yeah, baby. We got a band all the way from Adelaide, Australia on tonight's episode. I was scrolling through my Instagram and I saw an ad for a really cool band called The Max Headroom. And I listened to them and I was like, wow, I really vibe with their sound. So I'm jumping like straight into the shit today. Hello, if you're new, I swear all the time on here. We are internet radio, fellas. This is a song called Ode by an Australian band called The Max Headroom. I DM'd them. They were very sweet. They were very fun to listen to. I highly recommend you listen to the rest of their discography. They are on Spotify, and I'm assuming other major streaming platforms. So this song is called Ode. Hope you guys dig it. That was once again Ode by the Max Headroom, a five-piece band from Adelaide, Australia. They are really cool. They showed up in my Instagram feed as a targeted ad that they most likely paid for, and I dig it. I vibe with it. I listened to the rest of their music too, and I was not disappointed. So I implore you to check them out. I'm so excited that we're over international borders for the second time, if you guys will call back when I played Aphrodisiac a couple weeks ago. He's from the UK, so that was cool too. So we're in different time zones. So, oh wow, that means I can say, that means I could actually preface when I do these that we are on at Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, U.S. Eastern time. That's cool. That's so cool. I'm over time zones now. I mean, I guess I already was, because I know I've mentioned people who live in California before, and that is a 3-hour difference. Coast to coast, international waters, the JMFT Media, John's Basement episodes, that's us. We are there. Whatever corner of the globe you are in, we are there. That is not true. Do not look that up. We are in like 3 places. But, you know what? 4. I forgot about Florida. So, yeah. Hope you guys are staying safe, by the way. I hope you guys are not denying the legitimacy of the global pandemic that we are still fighting off. You know, I was so careful when I started this podcast because I was overwhelmed by the news and I was overwhelmed by the fact that I go upstairs and the news is on and it's all about coronavirus and I went on my phone and every meme and every post is about the coronavirus and I was like, oh, I'm gonna do this to not talk about the coronavirus. But now everyone stopped talking about the coronavirus and don't think it's real anymore. So I don't give a fuck if I piss people off anymore. It is a real virus. It is a pandemic. If you think that a global pandemic that goes over U.S. borders and hits other countries is a U.S. governmental hoax, you, my friend, are the living, breathing example of what social Darwinism, not even just social Darwinism, Darwinism as a whole proves. Yeah. It's really frustrating. I don't understand. This is the WCOV isolation station. How do you not understand the virus is real? Are you dense? I don't understand what there isn't to understand. It's so easy. Wear a mask, for God's sake. It's so not hard. It's there. You can get them for like $12. You tie them around your head, and you don't kill someone. I think that's a pretty easy deal. And I just want to say, like, I don't know who I'm preaching to here. The people who listen to this thing might take this extremely seriously, and I appreciate you if you do. I appreciate you if you tune in every week anyway, or even every other week, or however often you're listening. If you're listening, I appreciate you. However, if you're one of those people that says, like, well, I'm American, and therefore it is my freedom to not have to wear a mask, you can go fuck yourself. You can absolutely go fuck yourself. But I'm angry. I'm angry on the air, and I apologize. I do. So I'm gonna get angry about something else. Breonna Taylor's cops that murdered her are still free. I'm not required to talk about this, by the way. It was a heavy suggestion for the past couple weeks from the station. It is no longer a requirement. I am still talking about this because it still pisses me off. Why are they still free? Aurora, Colorado Police Department, what are you doing? Y'all killed Elijah McClain, and y'all still are like, well, we don't know what killed him. What the fuck, man? Black Lives Matter is not a terrorist group. Antifa is an ideology. It's not an organization. I think it's safe to say bootlickers don't listen to my show in the first place, but I just have to make sure they definitely don't, because I don't want none of that association bullshit. I try to not pander to certain sides of political spectrums with entertainment, because, you know, personally, I, as an entertainer, being that I do this and I do music and I like to act, I don't like to discriminate against my audience based off of their political ideologies. However, if you think that human rights and health crises are a matter of political opinions, I don't want you. You can throw the whole ass person away. I don't want you listening to me. You, you, it's beyond political spectrum by this point. It is a common sense issue. I really hope I don't get, like, in trouble for saying this, but, oh my god, I have to use this platform for something, and I choose to preach the fact that we are still in the middle of a public health crisis. Please do not kill your neighbors, and I also am a person of color that says, please do not discriminate against your neighbors because of the color of their skin. It is 2020. What are you, in the fucking segregation? So without any delay, let's get into the next artist, shall we? This was a really passionate rant. I'm doing a lot of those lately. I feel like a lot of us are. How can you not? But yes, without any more rambling, his next song is called Those Days by an awesome artist that I found on Quadio the other day called Chancellor J. This whole track is it's a bop and a half. He is also, he wanted me to mention that there is a video for this song, and he also wanted me to shout out the producer of the track, Darrell Banks. I don't know you, but you have excellent work. This song kicks ass, and yeah, if you like the song, feel free to check it out on YouTube and read up on his Instagram posts. It is chancellor.j on Instagram. And I hope you fuck with it. So this track is called Those Days.
No, we had those days when everything just don't go quite your way. No, we had those days when inside out your feelings kinda down. No, we had those days. Sometimes we just don't have a clue. People just not feeling you. Everything comes out the blue, You put all pressure on yourself. Don't reach out for people's help. The better off just by yourself. They don't see how far you've come. They don't see all that you've done. All they see you is this alone, all alone. Trust me, that's not all I see. I see beauty in the queen. I believe it's made to be. But no, we had those days when everything just don't go quite your way. No, we had those days when inside out your feelings kinda down. No, we had those days.
Can I be honest just for a second? If I don't, I think that I regret it. Just know you're smiling, your vibes embedded in me. Girl, I can't lie, I'ma give you credit. Girl, you showed me something different and I know you meant it. Know the time is all we need and I will spend it. Cause
you're all that one, you're having fun. You're letting go, you're letting love. Was never shy, just wouldn't try. Till you are mine, babe. No, we had those days when everything just don't go quite your way.
Everything just don't go quite your way.
No, we had those days when inside out your feelings kinda down.
When inside out your feelings kinda down.
No, we had those days.
Once again, that was Those Days by Chancellor J. Awesome track. Awesome vibes. You know, there are some songs that within, like, the first note, it's like, I don't even need to listen to the rest of the song to know that I love it. And that was definitely the song for me. I was, like, scrolling through my Instagram feed, and I follow Quadio on Instagram as well as being on the platform myself, which you should also be on. There's my weekly Quadio plug. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So feel free to check that, the YouTube video, music video out for Those Days by Chancellor J. And I am going to keep venting. No, I'm just kidding. You guys have bared enough witness to that this episode. But I will hop in to the third artist for today. And this artist is an artist I actually go pretty far back with. They are from Clifton, New Jersey. They are called The Angry Pirates, and I am so into their music and to them as people. They are wonderful people, and I go back with the guitarist, CJ. He was in a different band when I met him called Joyride at the time, and I love him as a person, and his music never disappoints. So this is his current band, The Angry Pirates. Very talented mix of people. I've seen them live a couple times, and they kick ass, and I hope I get to play with them once the shows are a normal thing that we can do safely again. Check this song out. It's called One More Time by The Angry Pirates.
Rise gently to the surface, a hidden purpose to be found. There's something hiding from us, there's something just beneath the surface of the canopy of trees and leaves. It's overtaking me, the way I flew up high, but now I'm back here with burnt wings. The Creator coming toward us, there's something just beneath the surface. I'm feeling just a little mess up right now. I'm feeling just a little messed up right now. Yeah.
Once again, that was One More Time by the Angry Pirates, awesome band from Clifton, New Jersey. Absolutely check them out. This is a shout out to CJ, my boy from years and years ago when I was in my old punk band Fracture, and he was with his band Joyride. We had some awesome adventures together at clubs in the local scene, and he played a couple shows that I booked actually myself too, and firehouses and whatnot in my local town, so... Big shout out. Absolutely check them out. I miss those guys. And that concludes our artist section of the video. It's a little bit of a different video this week. I couldn't get an interview for the artists that I played, but I was able to snatch an interview with my friend Nicole, who I went to high school with and has actually featured on my own tracks in the past. Nicole is a very talented individual who was a very fun interview guest. This is like a... I don't know if you guys will recall a couple episodes ago, I did my friend Noah, who was a former Broadway actor. This is another different side of the music industry, so I'm excited to break into that. And I'll let the interview speak more than I'm going to speak about it before you hear it. So without delay, further ado, this is Nicole Guccione, and I hope you guys enjoy the interview. Hey everyone, I'm here with my awesome friend Nicole.
Hello.
Nicole is a very multi-talented person who I have known for a couple years, and I'm going to just hop right into just letting her talk. So, Nicole, first off, how many instruments and what instruments do you play?
My primary instrument is the euphonium, which is similar to a small tuba, also called the baritone. So that's my primary instrument that I go to college for. And then after that, I also sing, play the ukulele, piano, guitar, trombone, and then I've dabbled with tons of band instruments, like brass and winds and all of that. So, yeah.
So you currently go to Carnegie Mellon. What are you majoring in?
I'm majoring in euphonium performance.
Awesome. What's it like? Like, what are you doing for your major? What's, like, the overall scope of what you do?
At Carnegie Mellon, our teacher for euphonium, his name's Lance LeDuc, he's a super awesome teacher, and so he has a pretty unique approach. Since euphonium's not a very common instrument, our studio's a bit more unconventional. So, but the main thing that I do in school is I do a lot of work on solos. We do some large ensemble material, and we also do chamber groups.
So... I do have an awesome question to bring up. On your Instagram, there is a photo of you playing fire out of your euphonium, correct? I want to know the context behind that, because that was one of the coolest photos I've ever seen.
Yeah. So, it was actually, so for context, the picture was me playing a sousaphone that had flames coming out of the horn. For reference, a sousaphone is the big, like, classical marching band instrument that wraps around your whole body. A science teacher at Carnegie Mellon, for some reason, just had it and reached out to my teacher about it and was just like, hey, do you and your students want to play a flaming sousaphone? And, of course, we said yes.
That sounds like the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Could never.
Yeah.
Though I do love my school. So, all right. So, getting into the fact that I know that you play a lot of different instruments and your multi-talentedness, I want to bring back, so this is for public information for anyone who doesn't know me or Nicole personally. Nicole featured on one of my band songs, Dance, that we released, or when did we release it? Sometime in the past year. We recorded it last summer. And Nicole plays like three instruments on that track. She's playing, you played euphonium for it, French horn, and I feel like you played something else for it.
Your trumpet?
Yes, yes. And there was definitely another instrument in there, and I just remember that was really fun. Aside from that, have you done any other like recorded works?
Not on other instruments, but at Carnegie Mellon, we've done some recordings and things like that.
Awesome. I saw something on your Instagram, right? Did you do a live stream thing recently?
Yeah. So me and there's two other freshman euphonium players, or we were freshmen last year. So the three of us started a project. It's called Mindful Music. You can find us on Instagram at Mindful Music CMU. And so basically, we're a group, and our mission is to help people maintain their well-being and staying mindful while through using typically live music. So we've done things like Instagram live streams where we'll have like a virtual concert. And while we were in person on campus, we also did our most common and popular event was yoga with musicians, which is yoga and then also with live music. So, yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. So going more into like the live ensemble stuff, I know you used to do Pit, correct? For the high school musicals.
Yep.
What was the experience of that? Like comparing from when you did like that feature for us where we kind of had you writing everything because neither of us know how to do that with like other instruments besides guitar. How would that like compare and contrast versus like playing in an ensemble for musicals and just in general, like any ensemble?
Mm-hmm. I'd say one of the biggest difference was when we were working together on dance, we had a lot more creative liberty because obviously like you guys were writing the songs and we were filling in the instrumental parts as well. So that was a super new experience for me. I don't write a ton of my own music, so that was super interesting. Whereas when I was for the Pit Orchestra, it was definitely a different environment because we had all different age groups too. We had like freshmen ranging to seniors. So it was a super fun and cool dynamic to be able to sort of like show the freshmen and the younger students like how it is being in the Pit Orchestra and then sort of like giving them the reins for the next year, you know? And then also having Mr. McCarter, our conductor, he's super awesome. And so he was sort of leading the whole group as well, which was definitely different and awesome.
So knowing that you did those musicals, did you do the Pit for all 4 years?
I did for 3 years. I did Pit and Stage Crew for the musicals.
So of the three that you did, what would you say was your favorite soundtrack to play on?
My favorite, personally, was definitely doing Phantom of the Opera because I was playing the principal horn part. So I had such fun melody lines, and it was just unlike anything else. Like, I was so dedicated to that show. It was such a fun time. So,
knowing that the soundtrack to Chess, which we did, was crazy, was there any particular song, or just in general, was that soundtrack, would you say, like, extremely hard? Because I was curious. I thought that soundtrack was hard as a singer. Mm-hmm. I want to know how, if that translated to playing that on sheet music.
Mm-hmm. I'd say, yeah, they were all three shows were challenging in their own ways. I was playing different parts for each one because in pit orchestras, they don't typically write for euphoniums. So I would be playing euphonium. And so for Chess, I was technically playing the bassoon part. For Fiddler on the Roof, I was technically playing the trombone part. And then for Phantom, I was playing the horn part. So I would say difficulty-wise, Phantom was definitely the hardest since I was transposing and had like a lot of melody lines. But I'd say like as a whole, I don't know, I love them all. Chess is so underrated, like it's just a gem.
It's like such an awesome soundtrack.
Yeah, it's so good.
Okay, what was the next? I had another question. Ah, damn it, I forgot it. All right, I'm freeballing it then. All right, so when we did dance, and I'm using this as an opportunity to tell a really fun story because we went to a pretty awesome high school with a really awesome music department and very supportive teachers of everything. I'm going to send this link to Schwartz because he texted me this morning. So I'll never forget when we were doing dance and I asked you like, what other instruments could you play? And you told me, I'm like, but do you own them? And you were like, well, I only have this one in my possession. I'm like, I remember texting Schwartz, can we borrow like every instrument from the band room? This was also over the summer. So like the school was closed. And I just remember like looking like we were breaking in to the band room and just watching like a janitor, just like, what are you doing here? And I just remember saying, like, I know this isn't going to sound believable, but I have permission to take whatever I want. I can show you the text messages. And I just remember, like, the janitor looking at me and just being like, I don't know if I believe. Like, he said this with his eyes. He didn't say this with his words. I knew he didn't believe me, but I also knew he didn't care enough. So he just opened the door for me. So yeah. That's a shout out to Randall Schwartz for letting us, like, literally, like, raid the band room to do that. Yeah, I just also I remember I think Harris was with me too, and it was like there was something on like this top shelf, and I didn't know what any of these things were because I am very much a strings only musician. Like I know bass and guitars make sense to me, but everything beyond that point is out of my expertise. So I was like to Harris, I was like, is this what we want? And Harris was just like, I can grab it. And I just remember like stacking chairs on chairs to try to reach like this all the way up instrument. I don't even know what we ended up grabbing, to be honest, but that was fun. That was an amazing experience. And also I loved like calling you and Harris in at separate times and sometimes at the same time to like Nick's basement when we were recording dance, and just watching you and Nick have these very like music theory discussions when I'm just like, I want it to sound like bah, and Nick's like, okay, so you're gonna play like concert G, and I'm like, concert G? There's a concert G? Like, I literally, this is so bad too, because like I'm literally like, I've taught music for 2 years and I had never heard the term concert anything before.
Oh man.
And like I was just like so dumbfounded, like watching you and Nick figuring it out. Nick's like playing it on his keyboard and you're playing it on your horns, and I'm just like, concert G? There's a concert G that's different from like G?
Yeah, transposing instruments is a whole world of its own.
Yeah, I just did not think to like consider transposing to a different instrument, because in my head, like the instruments that I play are guitar, bass, which are the same notes just in different octaves, and keyboard, which is also like how people often tune guitars and basses. So it's like the same to me. It's like I know there's different octaves for different notes, but it's like there's like what, like E4, E3 and stuff like that. And I remember like in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna put this song, so this is a G. So I would, in my head, I was like, I'm gonna tell Harris and Nicole G. And I thought that was it. And then like both of you were like, what G? And I'm like, what do you mean, what G? I'm saying G in this example as a hypothetical, which is really funny because I really don't even know if I hit a G at any point of that song. But yeah, that was a really fun experience because I felt like I was learning a lot. I learned that there's concert notes through watching you guys, which was really fun. That was like a cool like experience because I knew that that was like a newer setting for you guys. And it was absolutely a newer setting for me. So I'm like, okay, so I can't just say things and expect people to know what I'm saying. Now I know that. I actually still don't know what concert notes are. Can you please enlighten me?
It's basically a concert pitch is like you play a concert pitch instrument, as in guitar, piano. Euphonium is also concert pitch. But for different instruments, they're in different keys. So I'm not an expert on this. It still kind of confuses me, I'm not gonna lie. But like, for example, the French horn is an F. It's in the key of F.
Oh. So like,
to play a C, a piano or a euphonium or any concert pitch instrument, it's just a normal C for them. But for a transposing instrument, they'd have to transpose to a C. So.
That actually never crossed my mind at any point, but you know what? That's sick.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's not intuitive, so I don't blame you.
It reminds me of like that little meditation drum that I just started trying to learn, because like I know when you buy those, you buy them in different keys. So as you can buy, I think the one I have is in like A, I think. I'm still like, you can tune those things. I don't know how you doing a drum that makes metal melodies, but that's pretty sick. I don't know how to do it yet, but I think that's cool. So I actually do have a question. what, I should have asked this in the beginning, what got you into music?
That's a good question. I mean, my family has always been into music. My dad and my brother both play guitar. But the way I stumbled onto the euphonium is basically in fourth grade, when everyone picks their instrument, we had what's called an instrument petting zoo. And that's just when all the kids come in, try out all the instruments. And for some reason, I just like the euphonium. I really can't tell you why. And I've just stuck with it ever since. And then having experiences like being in the pit orchestra and jazz band and playing on dance, all that sort of stuff, just like kindled my love for music. And then I ended up sticking with it for college.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Was like, did you get like weird comments from teachers for picking the euphonium, a very like slept on instrument?
Oh, I wrote my college essay on it. Because no one knows what the euphonium is. It's a very underrated instrument, I will say.
It's a cool instrument, though. I remember when I uploaded dance to Quadio, that service that I work for, it let me put a euphonium tag on the instruments in it.
And I remember when I first went on Quadio, I was so surprised they had euphonium. It made me so happy.
They really have, like, everything on that. Like, I, when I put these, like, episodes up on, like, for my podcasts, it says, like, I write in podcasts, and it's like, food podcast, music podcast, gaming podcast, podcast. I'm like, I think of literally everything. So yeah, that was definitely cool to see, because I personally have never seen euphonium anywhere else, even on like keyboards, like, because there's always like horn sections and brass sections, there's always like a trumpet preset, there's always like a trombone one, and then like there's like a tuba one, but there's never euphonium. So I thought that was also really cool when we were writing dance, because it was like, we're writing this for an instrument that Nick's keyboard doesn't even have.
Yeah, definitely unique. I really like that about it too, bringing some representation for euphonium.
So I'm going to actually ask you about like your ukulele playing and your singing. And also, I know you play piano too. Mm-hmm. I'm doubling back way back to the archives of high school when we had lead shows.
Yeah.
Are there any like particular artists that you like covering more? Are there any particular songs that are your favorite to play live?
I usually did covers, and I just kind of did a huge variety. I also play with my brother. Sometimes he'll play guitar and I'll sing. So some of our favorites, probably Ed Sheeran is really great. Bruno Mars, we do a lot. We do like John Mayer, sort of a whole mix.
Could we expect a Nicole album in the future?
An album? I mean, I'd love to, but I'm not great at the whole music tech side of things, but who knows?
I'm absolutely with you. I just learned how to use, like, a DAW. I don't even know what DAW stands for. I just know it's what the people say. I want to say digital audio is the D. Oh, digital audio workspace.
There you go.
Big brain hours. But yeah, like I still don't even know how to mix at all. Like I have Buster is currently mixing like our newest EP, and he's like telling me all these things that I just had no idea to think of. So like I had everything tracked in a file and I sent it to him. And he's like, all right, you need to consolidate them, and I'm like,
consolidate?
What does that mean? It's like, it means everything has to start at the same place in the file, otherwise it's not going to work and sync up. And I was like, oh. It's like, it's all like, it's so crazy how many layers there are to do things in music, because it's like, I feel like when you're just starting out with music and you don't really play an instrument yet, but you like music, in your head, it's as simple as just picking up an instrument and learning how to play that instrument really well, which would make sense, but that is so not the entire battle. It's like that, and it's like, okay, are you going to do covers? All right, you have to get, like, if you couldn't put anything on the internet, you have to get rights and pay for royalties, or if you're writing, you have to learn how to do that first, and then it's like publishing and being registered through BMI or ASCAP, which a lot of people don't even do. And then there's like the digital audio workspace stuff. Normally, in normal circumstances, you would pay someone to do a studio, but that is not doable right now because of a pandemic. So it's just crazy.
Yeah.
However, I would love to get you on another Spitfire track in the future, pandemic willing.
I would love to do that. Absolutely.
What would you say was like the easiest instrument for you to pick up?
I'd probably say euphonium, because I started out pretty young. If not euphonium, maybe piano, because I played piano before I even played euphonium, but I pretty much self-taught played piano. So it was funny, because at Carnegie Mellon, I had to take actual keyboard classes for the first time.
Oh, really?
Such a mess, because I didn't have any technique or anything, but yeah.
I'm actually really surprised you didn't say ukulele, because a lot of people say ukulele is the easiest one.
Yeah, ukulele is pretty easy. I mean, I think that it's easy to do really basic stuff, but there are some people who like go far beyond that. I'm not saying I do. Some people like can really play ukulele where you're doing more than just like basic chords, you know? But yeah, definitely a good instrument if you're starting out to just pick up the ukulele.
I definitely am. I applaud you for being good at piano, even if it's like not technique efficient. Because you can play songs on a piano. That's more than I can do. I can only write songs on a piano because I, in theory, know theory, but I don't know how to apply that to a piano unless I'm, like, looking at a paper piano like I'm taking a music theory class. Like, I wrote, like, this just a demo that I'll probably never release of, like, just me playing, like, basic. I don't even know. Can you really count two notes as a chord? I don't know. Piano is one of those instruments that fills in stuff. But I did like two notes. And I'm like, all right, I am really glad that I'm not doing more than two notes right now, because I will fail so quickly. Piano's cool. Like, it's one of those instruments I personally can never grasp, because the hand movements are so different from guitar and bass. I'm like, I'm used to using my left hand with my brain and my right hand subconsciously, so doing both at the same time just like gives me like overload.
Yeah, I feel that.
What's the technique like for playing euphonium? Is it using your fingers more? Is it using your breath more? Or is it about even?
It's a whole ton of things. Probably the most important like foundation is breath work. The finger coordination, that's not very difficult at all. There's only four valves, but it's about like having your breath work and then that sort of technique that comes along with it.
That is so out of my world. Is euphonium considered a brass instrument?
Yeah.
So this is a really awesome but terrible thought that I usually have at like 4 a.m. I'm allergic to brass.
Oh. So
I don't know if this is possible, but when I'm like on my deathbed, and I'm old and graying and dying, I really want to learn how to play the brass instruments that I never touched, because what an awesome way to go out.
That's true. I have another alternative for you, is that plastic mouthpieces and plastic instruments exist.
But that just doesn't sound as fun.
Quite the same, but it's an option.
It is definitely an option. If I wanted to pick up the euphonium right now, could I play it?
Yes.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
All right, well, I know what my stimulus check is going towards now.
There you go.
And that is actually just about our time. Thank you so much for doing this, Nicole. This will be airing tonight in about like 3 hours. So thank you for doing this. Pleasure having you.
Very welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'll see you later, Nicole.
Bye.
Once again, to reiterate, that was my very talented friend, Nicole Guccione. She currently is attending School for Performance for Euphonium at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. Thank you, Nicole, for that interview. Really helped me out in a pinch, and it was fun. It was a fun time. I really hope to get her on other tracks in the future. I love having, like, natural horns in songs. I mean, you can absolutely, like, replicate certain things with, like, keyboards and preamp sets and stuff that you can, like, program through DAWs and what have you, but it's not the same. I really love just, like, the authentic notion of, like, a real person playing the instrument themselves, and I think that's really cool, and it was really special putting that on dance. Now, the only logical thing to do would to be playing out this episode with dance because Nicole was on it, and I was going to do that, but I'm actually going to not do that tonight. My band, Spitfire, is releasing a new song coming up on July 31st. It is a song called Your America. If you will dial back to earlier in this episode and every previous episode for the past month, you will know that this is a very allied space for people of color, for people in the LGBTQ community. I 100% am an advocate for the equal treatment and acceptance of every person, regardless of their orientation, ethnicity, U.S. citizenship status. People are people, and in this country, they are not treated as people without bias in many places. This song is a protest song. It is an extension for us. This is us contributing to the Black Lives Matter movement. I would appreciate it very much if you guys listen to this song and listen for the words. This track is called Your America. It is mixed by our friend Buster. And it's actually the first song that's going to be coming out since we are parting ways with our former guitarist, Nick Spatero. There is no bad blood, by the way. I'm publicly stating that. Nick is a very talented individual, and we wish him absolutely the best in every sense of the word. He has some new projects coming up, and you should absolutely stay alert for his new releases. But that's beside the point. That's a sidebar. This song, Your America, is me, Michael, and Jake doing our part to fuel in the music side for this movement. Please, 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 please do not let this movement die. Sign any petition you see that comes your way in supporting this movement. Read up about it. Educate yourselves. Learn how to become a better ally. Donate if you have the means to do that. Stay safe, everyone. This is not the final mix of this track, but it is a pretty close to final mix, so I hope you guys enjoy it. It is called Your America by my band Spitfire. Have a safe, wonderful evening, everyone.
This is a time of revelation in the age of free information. We aren't talking about segregation. And-